Well, come along, everybody. So the season's finished. We're into the first of our summer podcast, a summer series, I think we'll call it. We're touring all of the hot spots. Terry and me sitting in front of our computers chatting about football. Here we are. We've got a Champions League final to discuss. We've got what I would consider to be a shock, a very large shock transfer signing by Barcelona. That is an interesting one. And we've got a little bit more uncertainty at Real Madrid. You'll all be shocked to hear. We've got a teams of the season and a quick reflection on the last game of the La Liga campaign that we didn't do because I, being a jet setter, flew off on holiday the second the Premier League season was over. So we'd had to record before that last game, which then turned out to be a six-goal game. Right, quick reflections, Terry, on the Champions League final. As a proud North Londoner, you'll have been gutted to see Arsenal lose in a penalty shootout.
Yeah, really. And do you know what? I watch a lot of football. We all do, and I want to be entertained. I've got no skin in the game other than being a Spurs fan and hate Arsenal and want PSG to win, of course. But I hope, having watched so many games and with this marathon World Cup coming up,
yeah,
I don't want to see teams play like Arsenal.
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Because I get it if you're Curaçao playing someone or you're Scotland playing someone, you can play like that. I get that. It's permitted. I don't think it should be in the Champions League final when you're the champions of the Premier League and you're playing the holders. And the stats were incredible. Even the kickoff. Let's go back to the kickoffs. Two kickoffs. What the hell is that? I played for a team that was like the worst. We would take kickoff and whack it in the corner for a throw-in to win the ball back. That had more finesse than Declan Rice doing a couple of keepy uppies and smashing it high up in the air.
Mm.
It's a Champions League final. I mean, I don't want to be sitting there watching the World Cup with 3,000 games and 2,900 of them being teams sitting behind the ball and trying to score from a free kick in a corner.
Right. Let me put the counter.
That's my thing.
Yeah. Let me put the counter. Over many years, you and I have sat here pulling our what little hair we might have out of our heads over defenders knocking the ball around at the back when they're not suitable, where they're not set up, where and thinking that there's only one way to play.
Yeah.
And it sort of goes down. I mean, I've watched a lot of kids' football over the years, literally sort of pressure on kids' teams to play like Pep Guardiola peak Barcelona. So yeah, we've always said there is another way. It's not against the rules sometimes to put your boot through the ball and to get yourself organised. As the Italians used to call it, the right of the weak. That's what you're discussing in terms of like Curaçao. If you know, if they want to play like that, we're not going to blame them for it. And what Arteta has done is essentially think, we messed up a couple of titles when we thought we were going to win it. And what if we just get a load of really good players and we play like an underdog?
Yeah, and really good defenders. I'm not going to go down that road and say they're useless. They've got really good defenders. I'm learning more about a goalkeeper who does appear to be good. But it's not playing out a case of not playing out the back that I want to see. I just want to see players in the attacking half of the pitch.
They literally,
that's what you've got from Arsenal.
At one point, and it's Bukayo Saka, you know, literally launched the ball like Dave Besant in your team. It's like came down with snow on it. What it meant was they then got organised, didn't they? They then got in their lines.
Yeah,
because PSG were waiting for the ball to come down, and they're out and sorted, and then defend. And they were a couple of penalty kicks away. A penalty decision that, I mean, I thought it was a pen, maybe another
lucky
day.
Lucky not to get a second yellow, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's clear because it's evident straight away they took him off, replaced him. It was like, oh, we got away with that one with just the penalty.
Yeah.
It wasn't a penalty to Arsenal.
I agree with that. It was body. Yeah.
He had his arm, they were tucked in, it was a tangle. Didn't see a foul there. The stats were revealing, weren't they? The lowest percentage of possession since they've been doing those stats. One attempt at goal, which was on target, which was the goal. I thought it was. I didn't expect that. I expected Arsenal. I didn't expect Arsenal to go toe to toe, but I didn't expect Arsenal to barely attack. Now, maybe the fact they scored early gave them that sort of let's protect what we've got. Mm. We back ourselves to not concede, but it's a risk against PSG. So, but the point I was making was, and I don't want to see that. I get it if we get in the group stages. I don't want to see it in the latter stages of the tournaments. One of the big, you know, my worry is England do it.
Mm. Yeah.
That's my concern, that England go into games thinking, right, we're going to do set pieces, we're going to work on our throw-ins and corners, and we're going to be good at defending set pieces, and we're going to, you know, take as long as we possibly can on every throw-in, every free kick, every corner, because of the heat, because of the... And we end up seeing games where it's 0-0, 1-0, you know, we've had that in the past in World Cups, and it's been... desperately disappointing. So
people look back so favourably on like the old World Cups, like 1990. Honestly, goals. Have a look back at the goals per game at 1990, the 1-0s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We.
I want to see the World Cup be like the Champions League knockout stages. We get great games, and we've had done for the last probably 4 or 5 years now in the Champions League, maybe longer. And I want to see that in the World Cup. I don't want to see, you know.
You want more PSG Bayern than and less PSG Arsenal.
Totally.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's Real Madrid, Man City over the years, and it's, you know, I want to see teams attacking numbers. I want to see a team trying to win the game, which PSG were the only one trying to do that last night. PSG and Bayern in their semi-final was, I mean, Inter Milan and Barcelona last season. I want to see. When you watch so much football, when you switch a game, when you don't want to be sitting there after an hour thinking, this is going to penalties.
Yeah. I do. I've said this before.
2 hours of this to get to a bit of drama at the end. Don't want that.
extra time is too long, is a firm view I've got about football. 15 minutes would be fine. So, and just basically, that would be enough time to say, because if you are battering someone and they're hanging on, I don't mind that you get a bit of extra time to have a go at it.
Yeah.
But often nothing happens in the first 15 minutes of extra time because everyone's
not just a 20-minute period, one 20-minute period of extra time.
Yeah, just have a go, and then, you can almost, not seriously, I'd have the ref be allowed to just say, right, okay, none of you are going to blow the whistle. You know, if you're not going to play properly, I'm going to blow the whistle.
Yeah. So, and in this day and age. I got it when I played, and I suffered from it a lot, cramp, because no one knew how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Got cramp, have a cup of tea with some sugar. But now, there's no excuse for cramp. It happened a lot in that game, didn't it? I know players playing at the top level play 60 games a year, and they're playing international football, and I get that, but surely with sports science nowadays, that players have got to be hydrated enough, they've got to be drinking the right stuff. We've seen goalkeepers go down with cramp now.
Is that real? Oh, they're just wasting time.
It can't be real.
Yeah.
Can it? Not like he's running 15K in goal. I mean, maybe he's had the ball at his feet a little bit more. He's having to kick the ball out a bit more. He's dribbling outside his box. He's showing himself up as an alternative when they're passing the ball around the back. But we're not talking box-to-box midfield action for a goalkeeper. And if it isn't real, then, I mean, but how do you stop that?
Another final we need to discuss, Terry, is Crystal Palace 1, Rayo Vallecano 0, which wasn't much better. This was, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, I just thought ultimately Rayo just lacked a bit of quality to be able to create chances.
Yeah. It's a quote I've used so many times over the years. I didn't think there was a lot between the two teams. Mm. I thought it was a disappointing performance from Rayo. They didn't really give it. They didn't really have a go in terms of attacking play. I thought it showed what it is. It's the third tier tournament, and both teams I thought were quite mediocre, if I'm being honest. And it wasn't a particularly thrilling game. My point is, though, Jürgen Strand Larsen's on the bench for Palace at 45 million. Alamel's leading the line of their most up front, and they spent 5 million. He was the only player they spent money on, and I think a million on Fran Perez. So it's the people are saying the argument is this shows the Premier League is stronger. They've got more money. That's simple as that. I mean, Raya not spending. It was 150 million spent by Palace last summer, 7 million spent by Raya. So it costs so much more money to be just slightly better than.
I think what's Colin Miller put he did a bit of stats on this. And I saw it on social media, and it was like 21 games in the knockout stages of Europa League now and Conference League, in which English teams have not been beaten because they won both. And they won both last season, and obviously Forest got knocked out, but that got knocked out by Villa. That when you get down to those second tier and third tiers. Those English club, the size of those English clubs' squads and the quality of their benches means that they can just rotate their way through this tournament in a way that other clubs can't.
Chelsea played their reserves all the way through into the final.
Yeah, and still won it. Because it's starting to, I would say, it's a big question against the Conference League. Or they didn't design the Conference League to show off how much money English clubs have got. But that's what it's now doing. It's saying
it's a minute season for Italian team.
Yeah.
So, but they're not very good at the moment. So
I'd almost be tempted to say something like, "Oh, you know, if I mean, I would literally just take it away and say if you get the extra, if you get the extra Champions League place, you lose the Conference League place at the same time. Because why?" You know, also Crystal Brighton are in it now. Brighton are not breaking away and forming a European Super League. You don't need to worry about them.
Oh.
So, you know, I get so much of what UEFA does is appeasing the big clubs. Right. I'd rather they didn't, but I understand that they do.
Yeah.
But you don't need to I don't feel I need more Spanish and English clubs meeting in the Conference League. I'd rather that was won by a Slovenian team, probably not Slovenia, but you know, a Dutch team, or a Romanian team, you know, good football, strong football nations who can't win a game. Anyway, right, so let's get on to the transfer news, shall we? Now, Shay is one of our Patreons, and thank you for showing faith in us, Shay. He says, there seems to be persistent misunderstanding among fans and some pundits regarding Barca's finances. Many people still talk as if Barca are broke, and yet the club continues to purchase players such as Anthony Gordon and potentially Julian Alvarez. Could you break down in simple terms the difference between having cash available, generating revenue, and operating within La Liga's squad cost and registration rules? Specifically, how much of Barca's improved flexibility comes from the departure of high earners such as Lewandowski, and potentially Ter Stegen, versus overall improvements in the club's financial position? It feels like many discussions focus on transfer fees, missing how La Liga's financial controls actually work. Thank you for showing faith in us. Can we simply explain La Liga's transfer rules? No. So let's talk about... So we'll answer this question in the context of Anthony Gordon, but first of all, £69 million, I think it's €80 million for Anthony Gordon. I was surprised. And he's a talented player. When I'm looking at Barca's squad and when we were discussing it, it wasn't like top of my list. We were talking about would they make the money for Rashford and then they spend a lot more on Gordon. He's younger, he's good. I was a little surprised. What did you think?
Oh, totally. The obvious position they need is a centre forward. I don't think anyone sort of imagines that Barcelona would be spending this type of money. It's been years since they've been able to. I mean, they won the league last season. The year before they spent 60 on Dani Olmo, and we questioned where they got that, they struggled to register him. Do they need Dani Olmo? Last season they bought Jean Garcia, Rooney Badji, and brought in Rashford on loan and Cancelo on loan. And then suddenly it looks like, well, they're going to go on a spending spree again because this isn't the last. Apparently, it's not the last they're spending. Mm. Julian Alvarez, in my opinion, will end up at Barcelona. He's made it clear to Atleti. Once a player does that, it's difficult to keep him under those circumstances. So Atleti are probably going to have to... It's a shame for Atleti. They were reached out in good faith to bring a player from Manchester City, paying top money for him. It's worked to a degree, but this rumour has been lingering for a while. But at the same time, I'm looking at it and thinking, no chance, they're not going to get the money for him. Apparently they have, and they can find the money. So it is, and yet, so Lewandowski has to be replaced. So if it is Alvarez, that makes sense. But they still need a centre-back. Now, the only thing I'd say about Anthony Gordon is it's not a position I thought they needed. You know, it's the position Rafinha plays. It's the position other players can fulfil as well, including Marcus Rashford. Apparently, they're going to try and do a deal for Rashford as well. Every signing that comes in, Hansi Flick will go through Hansi Flick. And I think the Barcelona supporters now must be intrigued, must be interested in what the plan is, because he's earned that right to make the choices. It's not like Deco's buying players and Hansi Flick is sitting there with his head in his hands thinking, where am I going to fit him in? You know, I don't want that player. I don't want this position. I need this position. So I think everything's working well behind the scenes. So there must be a plan. I'm intrigued to see it. I think it might mean one or two casualties. Barcelona can't stand still. They've done fantastic under Hansi Flick in La Liga, but they want to be at the top table in the Champions League, and they haven't been for a while. So I get why they're looking at last season's squad and thinking, yep, we did well, but we failed again in the Champions League. And so we might need to freshen things up. You heard Luis Enrique after the game saying straight away, I need to freshen this up for next season. If we're going to do it 3 years on the trot, I can't have the same players. I have to bring in, you know, some different players. And I think Barcelona have to take that approach. Otherwise, yes, they'll probably win La Liga again, but probably fall short in the Champions League. So I think it's going to be interesting to see who goes out as much as who comes in, because they do have some potential to raise some money by selling players. Would there be one or two of them that would surprise us? So I think they do need to change things up to be more successful in the Champions League.
I was impressed by his Spanish. He'd obviously been working at that, hadn't he? Because so you sort of expect him to say something like, hello, I'm happy to be here or something. Yeah. And then he gives a proper answer.
And he was taking the questions in Spanish.
Yeah.
So he understood, he was talking. Yeah, really impressive.
With a Scouse accent, he'll be ringing Trent up, and they'll be speaking Spanish to each other in Scouse accent,
which is great. And I'm pleased to see another Brit, an English player in La Liga. From what I've seen from him, he looks a talented footballer. Can he play up front? He's done it occasionally, but if the Bayern Julian Alvarez, that was what I was thinking. Can he be like a false nine?
He's played a bit through the middle for Newcastle. Yeah. But he's never been a... Well, weirdly, in the Champions League, he was this season. But his career is not a goal scorer.
But you look at PSG, they haven't got a centre forward. Mm. The one they've got, it comes off the bench, Gonzalo Ramos. It's been Dembele playing in that attacking. So there is leaning towards, well, perhaps we don't need...
The death of the centre forward.
Lewandowski type.
Yeah.
And Julian Alvarez falls into that. To be honest, that category, he's not your traditional centre forward, is he? They've been linked with Marici, which might be a good backup plan. There's another signing for about 5 million or something. I saw that was, but the Julian Alvarez falls into that category of not being the profile of a number nine.
Yeah.
This and what I'm saying is that there must be a plan from Hansi Flick on what he wants, what he requires, and the club, it's their job to give it to him. And there's no way they're signing Anthony Gordon without Hansi Flick agreeing with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's interesting. If I was a Barcelona fan, I'd be sitting there thinking, it's going to be an interesting summer. They're not standing still. They're pushing forward. I hope it's not a case of, we can blow some money again now and go down that road again. They don't need that. But there are players there that could be sold. And I'm not saying, I talked about Araujo and Ferran Torres, Casado. Could be Dani Olmo. It could be, I'm trying to think who else is. Frankie de Jong did in the season playing on a regular basis. Mm. You know, he was in a. When Gavi came back from injury, it was clear that it was, you know, Pedri and Gavi and various players playing holding midfield. Mark Bernal has come through, hasn't he? So there might be some surprise outgoings.
It's very Hansi Flick to look at Barcelona's season and come to the conclusion that what we need is more attackers.
More goals.
Yeah.
But they do. I know it sounds daft. They need to. But they, yeah, we all know a centre half is. I mean, Gerard Martin got better, but I don't think you win the Champions League with Gerard Martin as your centre back.
Right, let's answer the question a little bit. So, right, Lewandowski leaving frees up around 25 million euros of wages. They were still paying off. So the transfer, when you see a transfer fee, that's spread out over the course of a contract. And we're all now learning this word, amortization, which is you basically, so
Chelsea.
you sign for 4 million on a 4 year contract. They put 1 million a year on the books for the transfer. Even if you hand over the money, in a different way. So there was apparently 11 million, I read, left on Lewandowski's fourth season. And then you divide Anthony Gordon's transfer fee of the 80 million euros over his 5 year contract. So that's only putting 60 million euros a year on. So largely his transfer is swallowed up by the Lewandowski departure. La Liga, to be fair to La Liga, they have given them, they've told them the kind of figure that they've got left. They've done the sums, which is important. So hopefully, you're not left with this situation where you're getting to the start of the season with unregistered players. I'm far from promising that. I sort of think that we'll be back there again. So that it sort of puts a cap on what they can spend on Alvarez, which, when you think about it, might not be the worst move for Barca, because that might, when they then talk to, because this is where it gets awkward with, so Alvarez might say, listen, I want to leave. And as you say, it's a very awkward position then for Atleti. But also, if Atleti are saying, but this is going to ruin our financial plan, and it's going to help Barca's, so we won 150 million euros for him. But Barca will be saying, no, listen, we've only got the 100 million headroom now. So that's the maximum price we can pay for Alvarez. As you say, unless they sell somebody. And so I guess that getting Anthony Gordon done early was sort of because he was available and Bayern Munich wanted him. And so they've thought, let's just get it done and
But that's
then gives
because
us.
Bayern Munich wanted him, and Barcelona must be. I mean, I've seen him play, of course I have, but I not as much as I've seen La Liga games. So I'm intrigued.
Yeah, how good
Is,
it's going to be for Barca.
yeah, how good is he going to be? He could really set the world alight.
Barca have got, they've got record revenue, so the revenue is massive at the stadium that we all now call the Spotify. But as another one of our patrons, Darren, has pointed out to us, at some point they're going to shut the Spotify, the Olivia Rodrigo Stadium, and because they need to put the roof on. So they're going to be back out of the stadium again, which is obviously going to be another knock on revenue. But I guess they know that. So basically, they've left themselves with enough headroom to get, I mean, not exactly a cut price, Alvarez, 100
I'm
mil.
not built or anything, but can't they put a roof on that stadium in 3 months?
I don't know. It's got to be
Because
the right
I'm
time,
pretty
hasn't it?
sure you're going to see the structure and the frame go up, and it's just a question of the roof isn't going over the entire stadium, is it? So in one summer, they get 3 months.
Don't know. Can't help you there, mate. Got another job on.
So any of our listeners in the building game,
And you've put a 100 million
email us,
whatever roof over
please.
a football stadium before, then
Yeah.
there's no I mean, we can't talk, we're English. It takes us 15 years and 3 billion quid to build a bit of railway, so
We haven't done that yet. There isn't
no
a railway
yes.
yet.
Still dreaming of this railway that's going to be built one day. So there we are. Have we answered the question? Oh, Ter Stegen is the other one, of course, who hasn't gone yet, but he's on a lot. He's on, what, 15 million, I think, if he were to leave. But, right, he's still got a contract, is the problem.
Yeah, and he's still injured.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And he's been injured for 2 years now.
Yeah.
So that's a difficult one
Yeah.
to move on.
Yeah.
Another loan, I guess, or a free transfer, but then he'll want his money.
Yeah.
So they're not going to get a fee for him. He's still relatively young for a goalkeeper, but it's his injury issues that have been a problem, and his high wages that are a problem. And Barcelona don't want him hanging around at the club anymore
Yeah.
because it's disrespectful, to be honest. And he's going to be behind João García. That's clearly the number one. And a couple of other goalkeepers at Barcelona, so they don't. It's important that he does. I mean, he almost had a route out then into Girona, which he got injured again. So, whether it's his knee, whether it's his back, it's that's a problem.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. Is it just the last year of his contract, or has he got longer than just 1 year?
Let me double check, but I think it's
And
1 year.
we're
Yeah.
talking disparagingly about a brilliant goalkeeper who's been brilliant for Barcelona. It's just a shame that it's ended up falling away in this manner. And they had to do something. They had to go out and get a goalkeeper. They've been blessed that they've got a goalkeeper that's young, that's really good. And I can't ever see Ter Stegen playing again for Barcelona.
No, it's 2028. His contract. So
2 years.
yeah. So is and it's a real problem, isn't it? But I think what it just reminds you when we talk about these transfer fees, you are dealing with human beings here.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking 100 million him, 200 million there, perfectly. As the second shows, when none of us thought it was an outrageous deal when they extended his contract.
No.
He was one of the best goalkeepers in the world,
Exactly.
The reality is now you're left with a bloke, and I'm with you. I can't see how you can sell him unless you're gonna. I think he's gonna need to get fit. I would say
Yep.
have a successful loan somewhere. So I
Yes.
think next summer before you can feasibly think about
Totally.
moving him on for a fee or for someone who'll take his wages on.
Yeah.
I think because I think you're loaning him out when he's fit. Who knows when? You're loaning him out and paying 90% of his wages or something, aren't you, as part of
Yeah.
that? So, yeah.
That was the plan with Girona,
Yeah.
obviously, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Let's get him fit, let's get him out, let's get him playing. And unfortunately for him, more than Barcelona, to be honest, it's the player I feel for. It's you hit rock bottom when you're
Yeah.
just picking up one injury after the other, can't get back on track. Yeah, it's a delicate situation, that one.
Right, here's another complicated situation then. Jose Mourinho is going to be the manager of Real Madrid. They've announced this, except the guy who's running to win the presidential election next week, thankfully, we're only 7 days away, doesn't want him to be the manager. So that's a problem.
Kind of makes sense in some. I mean, if you're contesting an election, surely you don't want to have the same policies as the guy that you're hoping to replace. So it's a given that you're going to choose a different vote winner and hope that yours is the preferred choice.
But he hasn't told us who this person is, has he?
No.
Understandably, because he might be in a job
He said
somewhere.
that. He
Yeah.
said he's in a job.
Yeah.
So I would trust, well, I don't know what I'd trust, but you'd hope that he's not bullshitting. And then just, if he wins, go, oh, shit, I've got to come up with a manager now.
Yeah.
You hope that there is a plan in place. I mean, there are lots of managers around that are in jobs that are of the quality that could manage Real Madrid. But is he going to have to tell everyone before? It
Yeah.
might be kind of a delicate situation with the manager who's in a job that doesn't want to leave that club to go anywhere else other than Real Madrid, for instance. So then if it comes out, I've got Unai Emery, and Unai Emery goes, oh God, no, I'm happy at Villa. I don't want to go anywhere else but Real Madrid. So it's a delicate situation there. It didn't used to be like this though, did it? Back in the day, right, I'm going to sign Ronaldinho, I'm going to sign Figo, I'm going to sign Beckham, I'm going to put this bloke in charge as manager, this is my policy, vote for me or vote for the other guy.
I mean, in general, I am in favour of democracy. I think there's a, but this shows the limitations of it as in a football club, I've got to say, because now he's saying he wants to sign Rodri, I just trans, as just discussed, transfers are complex, aren't they? Real Madrid have got more headroom than Barca, but it's complicated business to get a transfer done
Been
within the
linked for
financial.
quite a while, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's been even with Florentino Perez down that line, and Xabi Alonso wanted him and stuff like that. Or Zubimendi, that type of player. So I kind of can see that being doable, to be
Yeah, but a proper transfer, like you were saying about Hansi Flick, he has obviously given the nod to Anthony Gordon coming in. It's making electoral pledges and then delivering the transfers that the manager actually needs. I think there's just a big gap. And you, okay, you're probably right. You can bridge that gap with Rodri. It's fair enough. But
And
I
probably
just,
not too many managers are going to go, oh, don't want him.
yeah. So,
Probably
but.
most managers are going to think, do you know what? There's a sense of, and they may have even discussed it with the manager, the
Yeah,
candidate, Riquelme wants to bring in. But there aren't going to be too many managers. I know he's had injury issues, but he's still a top class player, and it's a position that needs fulfilling at Real Madrid.
but also, now, if I'm Rodri's agent and the guy's just won an election off the basis of signing Rodri, I think that gives me a fairly strong hand when it comes
Oh
to
yeah.
the wages negotiations.
Well, he's probably on a decent wage at City, and Real Madrid will probably have to up that wage. So it's a good platform to start from anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, Real Madrid players do earn decent money. And it's probably I've seen Rodri linked with it in the past, and he isn't. He's kind of encouraged it as well, to be
Yeah.
honest.
Yeah.
So I could see that happening.
Yeah.
And City's going to change. Pep's not there anymore. People don't understand that void it's going to make, not just from a footballing sense, but he was an attraction, Pep, for players to go there. He was an attraction for players like Rodri to stay there. That's changed now. And there will be a time in the future if they're not winning trophies or they're not competing at the top and winning stuff as easily as they did in the past, then. And I'd say it's all respect in the world to Man City. They are not historically a massive club. They're not the two big hitters in Spain. They're not the big hitters in the history of the English, and this is the Premier League, history of English football. Serie A's got big hitters, Bayern Munich are big hitters. The reason people went to Man City is because they got paid a load of money, and Pep Guardiola was manager. And that's changed now. Yes, they'll get big money at City, but they'll get big money at Real Madrid and Barcelona and Inter Milan and all these other clubs, Bayern Munich, Liverpool, Man United. They all pay big money. Pep was an attraction, and he's not going to be there. Bernardo Silva is another one. We're talking about Man City. He's linked with. He looks desperately keen to go to Barcelona. So when Barcelona and Real Madrid, like Rodri going back to Spain, playing for Real Madrid, it's an attraction. It's still those two clubs hold a massive pull. Whoever is the manager, that they don't need to have a superstar manager to attract players to go to Real Madrid and Barcelona. People, trust me, players will play for those clubs.
Mourinho's list, or it's not a list of names, just a type of player. It seems quite
Did I
sensible.
see the Otamendi on it, or was that a wind up?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't. Well, because he want well, it didn't fit the he wants hungry players,
Yeah.
who and his diagnosis is a bit that they're weak out of possession, and I think that's right, isn't it? So
Yeah.
you want players who are going to work. Who can work and any and whoever needs to get the best out of that Mbappe Vinny duo because they're not going anywhere.
That's the biggest conundrum. I don't think it needs loads of new players. It just need they need someone needs to get a grip on a
Yeah.
style of play.
Yeah.
I don't look at Real Madrid and think, oh, they've got weaknesses there, they've got weaknesses there. No, midfield, they're fine. Defence, the numbers are good again now. Alaba's leaving, Rüdiger's contract's up, there's talk of him renewing. Militao's injuries have been a problem. Fernandes' injuries have been a problem. But I still look around the rest of it and go, do you know what? Maybe the attack needs freshen up. Mastantuono is talking about possibly going out on loan to play for a season, to get playing time.
Yeah,
It's
I don't mind
important.
that.
And he's 18. He does need to do that. There's talk of Endrick coming back. Rodrigo will be fit. When he comes, it's going to take a while, but he'll be fit again soon. Do you keep Brahim Diaz? Do you keep one or two of the others that are on the fringes of it, do you need three left backs? I don't think it needs a massive overhaul at Real Madrid. It just needs the guidance.
Yeah. While we're doing managers in and out, we can squeeze another La Liga La Liga legend into the managerial chat, Andoni Iraola, which I thought, when I thought through, where is he going to go? Because you're beginning to think, hang on, has he made a massive mistake here leaving Bournemouth? And then I was thinking, Liverpool will probably sack Arne Slot in October, November, if they start next season badly. Turned out they were ruthless, and he's gone. And so we're recording this sort of noon on Sunday, and the talk is it'll be Iraola to go to Liverpool. I can see the appeal.
Yes. A similar style of football to Klopp.
Yeah.
And with better players than he's had at Bournemouth.
Yeah.
And I think that's, the Liverpool fans are looking out for more of that, to go back to the times of Jurgen Klopp. Kind of helps him that Salah's left as well. In terms of, because it's that would have been a similar.
You've got to run for Iraola, haven't you? Yeah.
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 So he goes there with the option of freshening things up at the top end of the pitch. So it would be, and he obviously was appointed at Bournemouth by the current director of football at Liverpool, Richard Hughes.
Yeah, that makes sense. When you see that link, of course, you think, oh, well, yeah, because it was controversial getting rid of Gary O'Neill. People were thinking, oh, you can't, he's in a good job and he's signed this bloke no one's ever heard of.
Yeah.
Andoni Iraola. That very much worked out in Iraola's favour. When you go back to the very start of the thing where you were saying you don't enjoy watching Arsenal, Iraola's teams, they were up and down at Bournemouth because they had spells where they couldn't score and they all looked knackered and confused. But with high quality players. The only question, I think they would need to get some legs in there compared to the current Liverpool team and someone who can run.
Yeah, I mean, what he did this season was incredible. He lost the whole back four last summer.
Yeah.
Of really good players, and they replaced them. So good work done by the club and the recruitment department. They brought in good players again. He didn't complain. He got on with it. And they ended up on that ridiculous 18-game unbeaten run at the end of the season. That season qualified for Europe. And I enjoyed watching Bournemouth play. I mean, not because I was leaning towards, Spanish manager, Iraola, blah, blah, blah. They were a team that were on telly. I would enjoy watching them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's not every Spanish manager who's gone to England has produced good football.
It's
been a mixed bag. Although there are a huge amount of Spanish managers knocking around.
Yeah.
And as people point out, Northern Spain, so Catalans and Basques knocking
Which
around.
Which is why I'm kind of not baffled by Florentino Perez. I know why he's doing it. But I'm kind of baffled that there isn't someone there that looks further around than Iraola could have managed Real Madrid. Marcelino could manage Real Madrid. Unai Emery, I joked about being possible named. He would be more than capable of managing Real Madrid. And I haven't even had to think too long to come up with those names. There'd be others. But Florentino Perez going back to Jose, it could work. It'll be fun anyway. It'll be high profile. It's going to be headline news, whichever way it goes. He knows football. He knows how to manage. The fact he hasn't won something for quite a while probably shouldn't be used against him too much, because there's a much better chance of winning something as manager of Real Madrid than the other jobs he's had.
Yeah. Right. More business to do. We can't keep you forever because you've got summer. You've got to get this listened to before the World Cup starts, everyone. Right. Kelvin. Thank you, Kelvin. Thank you for everyone who sent the kind words through, including Kelvin. It's good to have you on board. His La Liga team of the season. Joan Garcia in goal. Marcos Llorente, Eric Garcia, Florian Lejeune, Carlos Romero. It's his back line. Lamine Yamal, Pedri, Luis Mia, Victor Munoz, and then a couple up front, Mbappe, Oyarzabal. And then he's done a one player per club, which is the bigger challenge, but he knows his stuff. It's a good one, actually.
Yes, he does.
Sivera of Alaves in goal. He's got Llorente right back. He's got Lejeune, obviously a shoe-in because he's got him in his main team. Afan Gruber of Elche and Carlos Romero at left back. Lamine Yamal is Barcelona choice. Luis Mia, no surprise. Pablo Fornals, Mbappe, Espy and Oyarzabal.
Yeah, I that the second team in particular was hard to disagree with anyone there, and hard to come up with my own team that's different to
Yeah,
that.
not just Nick and Kelvin's,
Adam
but
Grubb
yeah.
has been really good this year, so I get why he's in. Lejeune has barely missed a minute, so yeah, that's a two excellent starts there from Kelvin.
So there we are. So patrons, if you want to join in, you don't be put off by the fact that
The bar
we
is
say,
high.
yes, where the bar is. Quick note from Paul. Shame for Mallorca. Pound for pound, I thought they were better than Sevilla and Osasuna when everybody's watched them, but they went down. So last La Liga game, Terry, game 100, no, 380. Villarreal 5, Atletico 1. I mean, there's an element of last day of term about it. A flurry of goals in this game. But so Villarreal get third, Atleti get fourth. I don't mind that for the balance of the season.
Yeah, right. That's right. Villarreal have been more consistent. I guess if playing at home, the advantage goes to Villarreal. I guess Marcelino's last game, that was kind of the motivation for that. The motivation was always going to be greater for Villarreal to finish above Atleti. Atleti Champions League's done. They'd said goodbye to Griezmann the week before. Yeah, he was involved in this game and one or two other players. So it kind of, yeah, it was an end of term performance from. It was still a decent team from Atleti, though. But I mean, should we look too much into it? Probably not. I think you see Carlos Romero's gone back to Villarreal. He's in both of those teams there from Kelvin. Fabulous signing for Villarreal. Although he's been out on loan, but they had the buyback clause. They've got him back and he signed a long-term contract. He's going to be a great addition to Villarreal next season. Just hope they keep more this year. They it was a much changed squad, so they've done well again in La Liga, flopped badly in the Champions League. I hope there's not as many out departures, and then having to start again and bring in seven or eight again, and then maybe that first half of the season it's taking a while for them to gel. So hopefully better performance from Villarreal next season in the Champions League.
And Tapia has been in touch, marking his own homework. Accountability. I like this from Patreons, comparing his predictions to the reality of the league. So he had Barcelona and Real Madrid. So he got that combination right. He had Atletico third. I think loads of people did, except you, Terry. Athletic Club disappointed. Villarreal have done better than expected. Betis he had sixth. So again, they've done slightly better. Celta Vigo. Real Sociedad, it was pretty good. Osasuna turned out to be a big disappointment this season, haven't they? Rayo, he had mid-table. Valencia, Mallorca, big disappointment, of course. Alaves, Girona, again, massive disappointment. Sevilla, he had 15th, they finished 13th. Getafe have done much better than expected. Levante, 17th, I think. Is that right? I think you might have got that spot on. And then Espanyol, Oviedo. And hang on, Uva lost at the end. Uva lost at the end. Elche, of course, who've done. So it's not bad. That's not bad. I mean, it's hard. We'll do this again come August, but it's hard to get that team sort of 8 to 18. It's hard to get
Yeah,
that because
some
there's
of those
like a
things we talk about, they did well in. In the end, they
by
did
what?
well.
By one point, some of
They
these,
did
aren't
well
they?
in the end. Osasuna lost six on the trot and did disaster of the season. Just about got away with it. Rayo, they were another one as well. They were in the thick of the action until the last few weeks, and then you look at them, and you go, "Oh, they finished late." It is difficult to predict that bottom half. Mallorca and Girona, massive surprise though. I don't think too many people would have had them in the 18th, 19th, 20th, getting relegated. So, yeah, it was a. I really enjoyed the season. The fact they had so much to play for. We need more of a race at the top, and we need probably a little bit more race for the top four or five. So we need the likes of Real Sociedad to improve. We need Celta to improve. We need Athletic Club to be better. We need Sevilla and Valencia to be amongst those teams genuinely challenging for a Champions League spot. So the competition this year wasn't at the top, it was in the some sort of eighth down.
Right. I think we'll leave it there. So we'll be back. So send us more teams of the season. Send us your thoughts on Anthony Gordon. Hopefully, we've answered some of those questions about Barca's finances. So there's a lot more to come. And then obviously, Well, I mean, if Florentino Perez loses that election, we'll have to obviously come back and sort of
Yeah.
think about the consequences for that. I sort of think he won't. I think
No, I don't know. I
Enrique.
have no idea. I'm not Real Madrid socio. I don't know what the feeling on the street is. And I've seen some of the ideas of Riquelme. That sounds something that the Real Madrid socios might appeal to.
Yeah.
You know, the sporting city where they can actually go and use the facilities as opposed to just the players. Stuff like that. And it'd be interesting to see whether Real Madrid fans just want the same.
It's whether you better the devil you know, isn't it? Is that it's a, there is a conservative vote to be done, isn't there, for Florentino Perez? Or maybe there is a ground, it's a dangerous thing holding an election, certainly in the modern world, because people are happy to vote for change without really understanding what anyone's on about by that change. So maybe everyone, maybe there is a sort of and he's misjudged it, and there's a groundswell of people who are thinking, yeah, I'll get rid of him, I'm sick of it, we'll find out next week. Yeah,
Definitely.
cool. Right, Terry, enjoy your week, everybody. Thank you, Patreons, thank you for your continued support. We'll do some Patreon only stuff as well throughout the course of the summer, but we'll see you all soon, and we'll be back with some more, definitely some more transfer news and some presidential news. So we'll see you all for that soon. Bye bye.